Almost forgot to silence my phone. That would not have been good. Gilligan's Island going off. All right, our first reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah. Paul addresses the Areopagus. He says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No one has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him." And that's not Paul addressing that. I forgot to take that part off. So that was actually from Isaiah, though. And our second reading is from the book of Acts. Matthew is chosen to replace Judas. We read, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, son of the Alphaeus, and Simon of the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these were with one accord who were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." And now we come to the book of Luke, the 11th chapter. This talks about hospitality, how we're supposed to be hospitable to people all around us. It's kind of tough in the Western environment because we're more of an individualist environment and we have our own thoughts and so forth. So let's kind of read here in book chapter 11, verses 5 through 13 here in the book of Luke. "And he said to them, 'Which one of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, but yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, instead give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" That is our third reading. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Happy Sunday, everybody. Have you ever had unexpected guests? Somebody that just comes knocking at the door and out of nowhere. This is kind of an interesting story. Derek and Dennis Williams accidentally got included in a group text of two people they didn't know. The text read, "Lindsay and Mark Knox have given birth to a healthy baby boy, Carson Knox." The couple was so busy texting friends and family about their new arrival that they inadvertently sent the text to the wrong phone number. Would you believe that Derek and Dennis did the unthinkable? They jumped in their car. They drove 40 miles from their home in Tallahassee, Florida, to the hospital in Georgia. to celebrate the birth of a new child to perfect strangers. And just to add a little bit more excitement to the surprise visit, they stopped along the way and picked out some gifts for the baby. Kind of sounds like a crazy idea, doesn't it? The Knoxes posted to Facebook, "What a blessing these two guys were to our family. They were so sweet and kind to do this. You two are great guys, and thank you for giving to someone you didn't know." Would we do that today? We'd probably see the text and, "Oh, that's nice," and go on to something else. Wouldn't give it a thought in the world, would we? Hospitality really comes to play in so many aspects of life. You know, when I was in Bloomington last year, I wanted to go see my aunt and uncle. And they weren't home, unfortunately. I left a note in the door. And on my way back, I get a text from Carol. "Oh, we don't use the front door. We just saw your note now." I said, "That'll be next year. We'll get together then." Unexpectedly, you know, show up. You know, and some people do expect to have a phone call or something. But there's this, what is this? If you come to see me, you can come anytime. If you come to see the house, you have to make an appointment. We should, you know, it doesn't really matter. That sometimes the things that we put into perspective, don't let it bother us. Don't let it get into our way. Don't let it nag over our heads. Don't let that black cloud over your head. Hospitality is something that we should embrace instead of not doing it. Google, if you search Google for unannounced guests, you'll find a slew of websites dedicated to the topic and host of Miss Manner-like suggestions. One woman blogged this question: "How do you react to unannounced visitors?" She then proceeded to tell the story of her sister-in-law who lives 2 hours away, but stopped by unannounced because she was in the area. When she arrived home, she found her sister-in-law sitting in the front porch, waiting for her. Her husband was out of town for the week, and she had and her kids were just recovering from a bad cold, so things were chaotic as it was. Her house was a disaster. She had enough dinner for herself and her girls, but nothing to offer her sister-in-law. While the sister-in-law was there, this mom spent the entire time futilely trying to carry on a conversation while wrangling her toddler and the infant. Responses to her post question included, "If someone can't bother to call me before they get to my house, I don't even answer the door." Another responded, "Oh, that's just rude." Well, they're not alone. The idea of dropping by someone's house unannounced is almost unthinkable these days. I got to share with you a cute, this has been a week in the planning, and I'm surprised my wife can keep a secret. Because Juliana was going to come home for Jesslyn's birthday, which was Thursday. So Jesslyn didn't know anything about it. And I knew about it, and Tina knew about it. And so everything was going great. And, you know, surprisingly, Tina kept the secret. Of course, I don't say anything. So all of a sudden, about 10:30 at night, there's a knock at the door. And Tina says, "Well, that's for you," to Jesslyn. "Who's knocking at the door at 10:30 at night? Why is it for me?" You know, she opens up the door, and there's Juliana. And it was just like, oh, it was so special. Unexpected guests arriving at 10:30 at night. And and Jesslyn said it was the best birthday surprise she ever had. So that's so sweet. That's awesome to have that type of hospitality and that type of response. Now, the first thing we need to do about hospitality is understanding the culture that is happening in Jerusalem at the time. So when we're reading the scriptures, everybody understands what's going on because Jesus is talking about their term. Sometimes we don't understand what they're talking about because we didn't live there. We don't know what it's like. Back in the day, it was required to extend hospitality. The extremes people went to extend hospitalities to others was legendary. One example is actually Abraham's response to three strangers who came to his tent. Now let's read about that in Genesis, about the extent that he went through for hospitality of these three strangers in Genesis 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs," which actually translates to about 36 pounds. "Get 36 pounds of the finest flour." I know, that's a lot of flour. "And knead it and bake some bread." And then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. Then he brought some curds and milk and the calf that he had been preparing and set these all before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. Now that's hospitality. Three strangers. And Abraham basically puts out the full course meal to them. Is that what we do when we have strangers in our midst? Or do we kind of like close the curtains, lock the doors, and hide behind the door? The two values that they have back then is honor and shame about putting community first. Hospitality is an issue of the village honor because the interest of the community always transcends above that of the individual. Thus, anyone who refuses to extend hospitality to a guest would immediately be shamed in the eyes of the village. So you see how serious this is, how important it was to extend hospitality to guests. And such news like that would spread like wildfire throughout the village. So when this unannounced guest arrives, he's expecting a meal and a place to sleep when he's at this person's place. And of course, he don't have any bread. So now he's going to his neighbor's place to try to get bread. And of course, he does end up getting bread, not because he's a friend, but because of his persistence. One thing that always is important that God talks about as well is that God will provide for us. There's two ingredients back in the Old Testament time. And of course, it's also kind of all, one of them is related in the Lord's Prayer. One of the ingredients is bread. Bread and water are the two most important ingredients that they lived by. Bread became a symbol of God's faithful provision to his people. Bread is served at every meal in Jesus' day because it was used as a utensil. To eat a piece of bread is torn from a loaf of bread dipped into the common food bowls set on the table. The dipped piece of bread is called a sop and cannot be reused since it would defile the remaining food in that bowl. So you can see Doritos has got it right. No double dipping. Thus, every sop, basically every mouthful of food, requires a new piece of bread torn from the loaf. Another part of this meal tradition is that you never give your guests a partial loaf of bread. You give them a full loaf. Maybe that's why Sarah had to make 36 pounds worth of bread. Imagine all of us here having a meal, and every one of us has a loaf of bread. And that was our utensil. But here's a half a loaf. Oh, you'd be in trouble. You get a full loaf of bread. That was required back in the day. The host must also have, he must have the complete loaf. Since Middle Eastern hospitality traditions require putting much more on the table in front of the guests to eat than they could possibly eat, multiple loaves of bread were needed to properly set the table. So instead of a fork and a knife and a spoon, you got a loaf of bread. A little bit of interesting history about the time back then. You know, God meets our needs. And now, anytime we come to a passage in the scripture, the first thing we should always ask for is, well, what happened before that? Well, the first four verses of this chapter, Jesus responds to the disciples' request to teach them how to pray. Jesus shares what has become known as the Lord's Prayer. But more accurately, it could be called the disciples' prayer. It was customary back then for the rabbis of Jesus' day to craft a special prayer for their disciples, which summarizes in special manner the rabbi's distinctive approach to interpreting God's word. So basically, each rabbi had a prayer that they had for their disciples that they said together, much like Jesus had his prayer for his disciples as well. These prayers were coveted by a rabbi's disciples and prayed regularly. What Jesus is trying to teach us, what is he trying to teach us in the Lord's Prayer? By incorporating daily bread into his distinctive disciples' prayer, Jesus is recalling God's provision of manna to the Hebrews in the wilderness. Remember when the manna was falling from the sky? So Jesus is making reference to our daily bread, the bread that came from the sky in the Hebrews, making correlation back then. In a place that was so barren that nothing would grow. The people would complain to Moses. In Numbers 25 it says, "No place for seed or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink." We know that they were always mumbling and complaining about something, but yet God provided them their daily bread to eat so they could live. I find it interesting today that, what's in the bread, carbohydrates, you know, gluten or whatever. You know, it must be maybe the way we make bread today or something, because I imagine back then they said, "I can't have bread because I can't have carbohydrates," or whatever it is, you know, that they talk about that's in the bread. That was part of their meal. That was important. And Jesus emphasizes that as well when to the Hebrews. So God loves us. He cares for us. He gives us our daily bread. He gives us what we need. All we have to do is ask, seek, and knock, and he will give it to us. Now, when we look at that picture in the front of the bulletin, who do we kind of tend ourselves to be? Are we the man on the ground looking for food? Or are we the guy upstairs who is saying, "Don't bother me"? It's interesting, they say that Midwesterners, which is what we are, focus on individualism and tend to identify with the person at the door because we see this person as the one with a need because of the value of the community. Mid-Easterners more readily identify with the person inside the house because that person has the capacity to meet this sudden community need and thus preserve honor in the village. So they go with the guy upstairs because he's the one that has to provide for the need for the guy outside. And if he didn't, you knew what happened. He'd be saved. That's part of hospitality. And I think the big picture about this is Jesus is telling us to be hospitable to other people. Be like the couple there, those two guys at the beginning of our lesson today about going and buying baby gifts and celebrate the birth of a baby. And don't be the one that closes the curtains. We see somebody drive up the driveway, close the curtains, lock the door, and then you don't say anything and you hide out. And I know that we sometimes are hesitant to meet other people, to greet other people in our communities, to have strangers. God wants us to do that, though. It's part of our mission. Our mission is not to hide. Our mission is to go out and see people. Our mission is to help somebody who is in need. We also have to be wise. I know sometimes you see in these parking lots, these people begging for money with their signs. And if you happen to watch them later on, they'll get into their nice vehicle after they leave and drive away. That's why you have to be wise. Know the difference between what is good and what is not. A lot of people, though, are honest. We need to try to reach out to them and help them out. Jesus always, he would open up, he says, suppose one of you, or which one of you, he's kind of asking the question, would you believe that something like this would happen? And then, of course, he would expect the disciples to say, no, nothing like that would happen. I mean, somebody comes knocking on the door, of course they're going to help him out. Well, this man comes to the door, but he's persistent. Very persistent. He's kind of desperate. He needs bread for his a stranger that came to his house. And so it kind of reminds us of the story of the parable of the persistent widow. Excuse me. Recorded in Luke 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I do not fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Actually, an exclamation mark there too. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out from him to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they will get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Hospitality, something that we need to maybe open up our minds and open up our thoughts and open up, think outside the box and how we can be hospitable to other people. One thing that we do even when amongst us here, for example, now like today, is it your 80th today? Not today, but it's yesterday. Benny's 80th birthday. So there's going to be a birthday party after the service today, celebrating 80 years, which is fantastic. And I think we should do more of that. It really is. I don't have the list. Well, I probably do have the list hidden somewhere of everybody's birthdays. But especially if it's a milestone, we really should do that because it's a special day for them. And so we're being hospitable to you today, Betty, on your 80th birthday. Congratulations. And so whatever it is that we can do to make somebody happy, put a smile on their face, be hospitable, and reach out to them. And when somebody comes knocking at your door, open them up and say, "Hi, what can we do for you?" And I can see someone going, "Oh." It's a challenge. I'm an introvert person, so I'm probably the one that locks the door, closes the curtain, and hides in the bedroom. But, and the other thing, too, is know your neighbors. Isn't that part of it? How many, I don't know if anybody lives in town, but and I hate to say it. This summer, my goal is to actually meet my neighbors. We have neighbors around us that we don't see. I don't even know the names of some of them. And I think that's sad. One lives right across the street. And what's really strange is the people that used to occupy the house before that, it was always kind of a joke because I see him in Sioux Falls. I see him in Rapid City. I see him in Pier, but I never see him in Groton across the street. I said, "Oh, hi, neighbor. Yeah, it's a good thing we travel so we can see each other." That's sad. That's not the way hospitality is supposed to work. Hospitality is supposed to reach out to everybody in your neighborhood, your people around you, people in your congregation, friends, neighbors, and even strangers. So do what we can, because God says, be hospitable, reach out, touch, love, just reach out to them. And that's what we're supposed to do. So on that happy note, we're all going to be happy today. We're all going to be hospitable to everybody that we see, even those that you don't like. Yes. And continue on from there, because God says, you shall do this. He did it for us. He did it to those people. God loved those people even though they crucified him on the cross. Jesus even said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus took the sins on the cross for everybody, not just the select few, not just the special people, for everybody. So we need to return the favor and reach out to everybody as well and be nice. And you know what? It's a lifelong lesson. I continue to find myself amazed at what some of the things I'm actually starting to do, even as I get younger. No, older, I guess. You just find, and it's great. It's a good feeling. And you need to do that. Because it's just like, okay, God says do this, so why am I not doing this? This is our instruction manual. It's time to read it, understand it, and do it. Amen.